Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
All right. I enjoy that song. Who else enjoys that song? Yes, there we go. Good stuff. I'm just going to give it a thumbs up. You guys good up there, Pierre? And yeah, all good? Okay. So today we continue our series. For those of you that might not know, or if you missed it, our series title is Bear Fruit. What you feed on shapes what grows. So that's our series. This week we are moving into kindness and goodness. And the actual title of this week's sermon is Love in Action. So we've already talked about love. We've already talked about patience. Has anybody prayed for patience? Anybody? A couple people? Were you challenged with opportunities to be patient? Just like we talked about last week, right? When we pay for patience, God is going to give you opportunities to be patient. So today we move on, but just like we did the last couple weeks, let's start with a question. The first question this morning is, what is kindness? What is kindness? Can you remember the last time somebody was unexpectedly kind to you? Not because they had to, not because they were getting something out of it, or because you deserved it. They were just kind. I bet some of you, as soon as I asked that question, someone came to your mind, right? Maybe it was a teacher who believed in you when no one else did. Maybe it was a coach who refused to let you quit. Maybe it was a stranger who helped you when your car was stuck. Maybe it was somebody that simply held the door open for you when you couldn't open it. Maybe somebody just showed up at the right moment, at the right time. It's funny, isn't it? How I remember those moments, those times. Years later, we may not remember exactly what they said. We might not even remember their name. But we remember how their kindness made us feel. There is something powerful about kindness. And that is because kindness leaves what I call fingerprints on people's lives. One small act can stay with somebody for years. Now, here's a different question. Have you ever met somebody that was not kind? I think we've all met people that are not kind. And I don't want you to point fingers or nudge anybody besides you. We all experienced it. Someone who was impatient. Someone who was rude. Someone who ignored us. Someone who made us feel small. And it's amazing how those moments stick with us too. But why? Because every interaction leaves something behind. Every conversation either adds life or takes life. Every word builds someone up or tears someone down. And that's why kindness matters. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about love, joy, peace, and patience. Those are all the things God is growing in us, inside of us. But eventually, what grows inside of us begins to show up on the outside. Fruit is meant to be seen. Fruit is meant to be seen. People can't see your heart. They can't see your thoughts. But they can experience your kindness. Fruit is invisible until somebody tastes it. So today we're talking about kindness and goodness. But before we get too far, I think we need to clear up a misunderstanding. Because our culture has confused kindness with simply being nice. Being nice usually means being pleasant, avoiding conflict, smiling, using good manners. Those are not bad things. In fact, I wish there were more nice people in the world. But biblical kindness goes much, much deeper than that. Biblical kindness isn't about having a pleasant personality. It's about having a transformational heart. It's choosing to treat people the way God has treated you. And that's very different. Here's something that I've been thinking about this week as I prepared. Everyone you meet is carrying something you cannot see. Think about that for a second. Everybody that we meet is carrying something that we can't see. The cashier at the grocery store who barely smiled this morning. The co-worker who snapped at you. The teenager who seems to be angry all the time. The parent whose child is having a meltdown at the dollar store or at the grocery store. The person who cut you off in traffic. The person who's driving too slow in front of you. We usually see the behavior, but God sees the burden. We normally see the attitude, but God sees the wound. We see the interruption, and God sees the struggle. The truth is, everybody is carrying something. Some people are carrying grief. Some people are carrying shame. Some people are carrying loneliness. Some are carrying fears no one has ever known about or that they haven't told anybody about. And because we can't see those things, we often assume the worst about people instead of extending grace. I wonder how many opportunities for kindness we miss. And we miss them simply because we assume we know someone's story. Imagine if a person we met came with a sign hanging around their neck that said, "Please be patient with me. Life is harder than it looks." Could you imagine that? Everybody with a sign over their neck. "Please be patient with me." Would you respond differently if somebody was carrying that sign? I think so too. The reality is, they are already wearing that sign. We just can't see it. Which brings us to something I think is important. Kindness costs something. If kindness were free, everybody would do it. But it costs something. Kindness costs time. It costs convenience. It costs patience. It costs forgiveness. Sometimes it costs your pride. Sometimes it means stopping what you wanted to do so you can help someone else. Sometimes it means choosing not to win an argument. Sometimes it means speaking gently when everything inside you wants to speak harshly. Kindness is rarely convenient. That's why it's fruit. Fruit doesn't grow naturally in our sinful nature. The natural response is to protect ourselves, to repay hurt with hurt, to return sarcasm with sarcasm, to ignore people who ignore us, to only love people who love us. But that's not the way of Jesus. Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Paul doesn't simply say, "Be kind." He tells us why. Because God has already been kind to us. Christian kindness doesn't begin with our personality. It begins with remembering the kindness we've already received from Jesus. Every act of kindness is simply passing on what we have been given. That's why kindness is not weakness. It's more like worship. Think of kindness more like worship. It's one of the clearest ways the world sees Jesus living in us. It's one of the clearest ways that the world can see Jesus living in us. And that raises the next question. What is goodness? If kindness is the attitude of a transformed heart, what does goodness actually look like? Because kindness can stay hidden. You can have a kind heart and never act on it. You can feel compassion and never move. You can notice a need and keep walking. That's where goodness comes in. There's one Bible scholar who put it this way. He said, goodness is kindness in action. Or to say it another word, or another way, kindness is the motive, goodness is the movement. Kindness is the motive, goodness is the movement. Kindness says, I care. Goodness says, let me help. Kindness notices. Goodness steps in. Kindness feels compassion. Goodness rolls up their sleeves. And that's why I love the title, Love in Action, for today's sermon. Because love has never meant to stay an emotion, something just simply that we feel. It has always meant to become an action. That's exactly what Paul writes in Galatians 6:10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul doesn't say, feel good towards everyone. He says, do good. There is movement in that phrase. There is intentionality. Goodness is active. It's love with dirty hands. It's love that gets interrupted. It's love that sacrifices convenience. And I don't think there's a better picture of that than the story of Jesus. Not the story of his life, but the story that he tells in Luke 10. Just raise your hand if you know the parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know it, right? A man is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's attacked, he's beaten, he's robbed. He's left half dead beside the road. Then Jesus introduces three different people. The first is a priest. If anybody should have stopped, it would have been him. But he keeps walking. Next comes a Levite, a man who served in the temple. Surely he will help, but he doesn't. He crosses to the other side, but then comes a Samaritan. To Jesus' audience, or the people that Jesus is telling this story to, that would have been shocking. They would not have believed that. Because Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They couldn't stand being near each other. If anybody had an excuse of those three people, it would have been him. But Jesus says, he was moved with compassion. And we shouldn't miss that phrase. Compassion moved his heart before it moved his feet or his hands. His heart was moved with compassion, and then he bandaged the man's wounds. He put him on his own donkey. He took him to an inn. He stayed with him. He paid for his care. He promised to come back. That is goodness. Not because it was convenient, not because the man could repay him, not because they were friends. He simply saw a need, and he moved towards it. You know what I think about the most when I read this story? The priest and the Levite probably had reasons for which they didn't stop. Maybe they were busy. Maybe they had important responsibilities. I've heard somebody argue before that a Levite because they work at a temple, could not touch anybody who wasn't consecrated. There's all these arguments that you can do or think about. Maybe they just simply thought somebody else would come along. Maybe they were afraid. We don't know. But here's what we do know. The wounded man didn't need someone's explanation. He needed someone's compassion. I wonder how many opportunities God places in front of us every single week. Not big, massive opportunities, small ones, like holding a door for somebody, making a phone call, sending a text message, helping somebody move, bringing a meal, listening instead of rushing, encouraging instead of criticizing, paying for someone's lunch, visiting somebody who is lonely, playing with your kids instead of scrolling through your phone, praying with someone the moment they share a struggle. Most acts of goodness are rarely dramatic. They're usually just ordinary moments. But ordinary acts done in love or done in the love of Jesus, those moments done in the love of Jesus become extraordinary moments. There is a famous quote that says, no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. And I think that's true because God has a way of multiplying what seems to be insignificant. Think about Jesus. He noticed Zacchaeus in the tree. He stopped for blind Bartimaeus while everybody else tried to silence him. He touched the leper when no one else would. He welcomed children the disciples tried to send away. He washed the feet of the very disciples who would abandon him. Jesus was never too busy. Jesus was never too busy to be interrupted by people. In the Gospels, many of Jesus' miracles happen when he allowed himself to be interrupted. Most of us don't struggle because we don't know what goodness looks like. We struggle because goodness usually interrupts our plans. It's inconvenient. It costs time. It costs money. It costs comfort. Remember, kindness costs something. Goodness usually costs even more. Because goodness doesn't just feel compassion, it acts. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He didn't simply look down from heaven and feel sorry for us as humanity. He came. He walked among us. He healed. He served. He forgave. He carried a cross and he gave his life. The greatest act of goodness in history wasn't simply that Jesus loved us, is that he moved. His love moved him towards us. The cross is love in action. Which brings you to a final question. If kindness is God's heart and goodness is his love in action, why should those become the defining marks of our lives? We've seen kindness is the attitude of a transformed heart. We've seen that goodness is kindness put into action. But none of those answer the most important question. Why would we choose to live this way? Because the truth is that this kind of life doesn't come naturally. Our natural responses is very different. When somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them back. When somebody ignores us, we want to ignore them. We want them to feel exactly how we felt. When somebody gossips about us, we want to defend ourselves. When somebody is rude, we feel justified in being rude right back. The world, our culture, it tells us, treat people the way they treat you. But Jesus said something completely different. Listen to these words from Luke 6. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. I don't know about you, but that verse is hard to understand. Did you catch what Jesus is saying here in this verse? God is kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to the wicked. Not because they deserve it, not because they've earned it, not because they'll repay. He's kind because kindness is part of His character. I realized something this week. That was my story too. I was, maybe still am at times, ungrateful. I was once far from God. I didn't deserve His mercy. I didn't deserve His forgiveness. I certainly didn't deserve His kindness. Yet He loved me anyways. He pursued me anyways. He forgave me anyways. He welcomed me anyways. When you think about that, I don't think I ever deserved anything I have, but everything He has given me. There is a reason why He drove me to do my Master's of Divinity, to study more His Word. And when Jess and I were trying to figure out why, we didn't know why, but we followed. You know, 5 years later, here I am, trying to be the best pastor I can be to this church. God has a plan. Even though I didn't deserve His grace, His faithfulness, His kindness, He gave it to me. And He gives it to you too. Everything we have in Christ began with God's kindness. Paul says in Romans 2:4, Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Think about that for a moment. Paul doesn't say fear leads us to repentance. He doesn't say that shame changes people. He doesn't even say guilt transforms heart. He says God's kindness leads people to repentance. That doesn't mean God ignores sin. The cross proves He's taking sin seriously. But instead of abandoning us in our sin, Jesus moved towards us, just like the Good Samaritan moved towards the wooden man. Jesus saw humanity lying wounded by sin. We were broken, hopeless, unable to save ourselves. He didn't cross to the other side. He came to us. He bound up our wounds. He carried our burden. He paid the price we could never pay. He brought us home. Every act of kindness, all the ones that I've mentioned today, that we talked about, ultimately points to the cross. Because the cross is the greatest act of kindness and goodness the world has ever seen. It's love in action. And that amazes me. I hope that it amazes you too. The more we understand God's kindness towards us, the more naturally kindness begins to flow out of us. You become patient because God has been patient with you. You forgive because you have been forgiven. You show mercy because you've received mercy. You extend grace because you've been given grace. The fruit does not come from trying harder. It comes from staying connected to Jesus. That's why this series is called Bear Fruit. Fruit isn't taped on a tree, and we can't hang it on a tree. I think the apple's still there, if you can see it. It grows from within. Healthy roots produce healthy fruit. John 15, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit." He didn't say, try harder to be kind. He said, remain in me. And that's one of the themes of this series, to remain in him. Because when we stay close to Jesus, his life begins to flow through ours. His kindness becomes our kindness. His goodness becomes our goodness. People begin experiencing Jesus through us. Can you imagine what our homes would look like if kindness became our first response? Could you imagine marriages in our culture? What would our workplaces look like? What would our schools look like? Can you imagine what Yellowknife would look like if hundreds of people woke up every morning asking, Lord, who can I show your kindness to today? Not random acts of kindness, intentional acts of Christ-like love. Because every person you meet is carrying something you cannot see. They have that sign that I talked to you about earlier in the sermon. Maybe this week God wants to use your kindness to lighten somebody else's burden. Maybe the encouraging text you almost didn't send is the one that keeps somebody from giving up. Maybe the conversation that you thought would take only 5 minutes becomes a moment that somebody realizes they aren't alone. Maybe the forgiveness that you've been withholding will set two people free. Never underestimate what God can do through one simple act of kindness. So here's the question I want us all to leave with today. And it's not, was I kind enough? No. The question I want you to leave today is, who can experience the kindness of Jesus through me this week? Who can experience the kindness of Jesus through me this week? Because that's what fruit does. Fruit isn't produced for the tree. Fruit is produced for others. And when the Holy Spirit grows kindness and goodness in us, the people around us get to taste what Jesus is like. So this week, choose the encouraging word. Choose the extra phone call. Choose a slower conversation. Choose to act generously. Choose forgiveness. Choose compassion. Choose to move towards people instead of away from them. Every act of kindness points to the one who first showed kindness to us. And as we continue to stay rooted in Christ, we abide in him, we remain in him, we'll keep discovering what we've been saying throughout this entire series. What you feed on shapes what grows. This week, leave fingerprints. Leave fingerprints of grace. Leave fingerprints of compassion. Leave fingerprints of forgiveness. Leave fingerprints of Jesus and other people's lives. Because every act of kindness points towards the one who first showed kindness to us. Sometimes it's easier said than done. But it's one step at a time. You abide in him. You remain in him. The roots of the tree continue to grow. And the fruit will come out. So I challenge you to leave fingerprints in people's lives this week. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.